Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Earlier this week, WNYC and The Nation magazine's new podcast, There Goes the Neighborhood, brought us voices from the quickly changing neighborhoods in Brooklyn, New York. We also heard from a lot of you in cities all across the U.S.
My name is Adrian from Overtown in Miami, Florida.
Beth from Portland, Oregon.
This is Eric Hooper, Cleveland, Ohio.
This is Jessica from Jersey City.
And my name is Danette from Hinesville, Georgia. And I believe that gentrification is a four-letter word.
Gentrification is almost complete in my neighborhood.
When we moved here, we had a house for $700 per month. Now those houses, one bedrooms, are going for $1,500.
I moved into the Tremont area back in 1966. We were the third black family in the area. Since that time, I've seen white flight and now reverse white flight.
The kinds of stores and the kinds of opportunities there are for small business to thrive, it's really frustrating, and I'm actually considering selling and moving.
Well, today we go out to the West Coast, the city of Oakland, where gentrification is happening and neighborhoods are changing fast. The city now ranks fifth among the nation's most expensive rental markets. Devin Katayama is a reporter for KQED covering the East Bay, and he says pressure from the housing crisis in San Francisco has driven a lot of people across the Bay looking for new neighborhoods in West Oakland. And that small migration brings with it a lot of cultural and economic pressures West Oakland just hasn't seen before.
West Oakland all of a sudden has become this really unique space for both people moving in, building new houses, renovating houses, but also a place that has a lot of history in Oakland. You know, it's a place where blues and jazz greats came to play, and this is a place with a lot of history, and that's kind of butting up against the newcomers coming in.
Now, there's a lot of new money starting to pour in to the neighborhood, as you point out. And you also have a main character here, a fellow named Tony. He's got the Revolution Cafe, and Tony's a person who's trying to build a business while all of this money is coming in from the outside.
Right now, we're inside the Revolution Cafe. It was once called the Revolution Cafe, and it's been here for a while. It was a cafe. It was like a community hub, and we plan to bring it back.
Devin Katayama, tell us a little bit about Tony and what he's up to there.
Well, the cafe sits on 7th Street, and that is the strip that used to have all these clubs. It used to be a place where African Americans could go, could spend time, be entertained. Then there was a lot of disruption to the neighborhood. There was a freeway that divided West Oakland. There was a giant post office hub that kind of basically raised a bunch of houses, made them leave. And then, of course, you heard that BART train going by, an elevated BART train that just really ruined the neighborhood. So what he's talking about when he's saying he wants to bring it back is that he wants to make that place the place that it once was. He wants to build, starting with that cafe, the neighborhood up from the ground up with the community support to make that strip relevant again. And of course, he's kind of butting up against the people who currently live there. He's butting up against a timeline which he thinks is really tight. And he mentions that. He knows that his time is limited, and he's scared of that.
They're going to get it ready. But who are they getting it ready for? And we would like to be a part of the people that they're getting it ready for and be a part of the people that are going to be the ones to help get it ready.
Devin, I live in Washington, D.C., where gentrification is happening rapidly as well. And in so many cases, people like Tony see their businesses shot to the side when Target or Best Buy or a fancy eyewear store comes in. It's great. It's clean. People shop there, but it's not local.
It's not local. And what's interesting about West Oakland is yet you haven't seen those big box developers come in yet. You haven't really even seen a lot of business come in altogether, even the local business. So Tony is in this really interesting time period right now of thinking that if he could just establish the cafe, make it a place that's already there once those other stores come, that maybe he has a chance to make it.
So let's talk about the practicalities of Tony getting his foothold, essentially, so that he's established that by the time all the development happens, he can't be pushed out. What does that mean for him in terms of dollars and cents, in terms of rent?
Right now, he's being supported by the landlord to rent the property for low rent. And that is the one thing that allows him to do what he's doing. That property owner who I've talked to is deciding to sell the property. She doesn't know exactly when that's going to happen. Neither does Tony. but that is essentially what's allowing him to stay there. Now, if he wants to build the property, I've talked to other folks who have made it, you know, who have been successful in West Oakland. I've talked to city leaders. They say that Tony needs to reach out to more community partners. That could include nonprofits that have a name in Oakland. That could include other community groups that could help build that cafe and make it something, make it bigger than what it is. Right now, he's really doing some grassroots stuff and sending out emails and Facebook postings. He's having these meetings in the cafe, but he's not including a wider reach. And I think that's one thing that a lot of folks say he needs to do in order for the cafe to even have a chance.
And it seems like Tony Coleman knows that time is really of the essence here.
We have so much potential here, but things are going at such a fast pace that may be the downfall of us, is because we're not able to do things in a fast enough time period.
Devin, what are the neighbors saying about this development, maybe about Tony's efforts to have this established foothold in the community? Are they frequenting his cafe? Does he have any sense that his cafe will sort of become a rallying point for the people who live in West Oakland?
He really believes that. He also says he sees the writing on the wall, meaning that he thinks eventually he'll be forced to move. Time is running out. If we want to capitalize on people who haven't moved in yet, big businesses that haven't moved in, now is the time to do it. So you're seeing a lot of small little projects. You're seeing some individual efforts to, you know, stake their claim in a community like West Oakland before all this pressure really comes there and you start to see some major changes.
West Oakland is yet another community in yet another city in the United States where gentrification is happening before our very eyes. Devin Katayama is a reporter for KQED. He's witnessed the front lines between a community trying to survive and new investment coming in. Devin Katayama, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is David from Denver, Colorado. And I did live at one point in Long Beach, California, in a section that some people may have said was undergoing gentrification. And the thing I noticed at the time is that if you had a impoverished, unsuccessful neighborhood, I mean, meaning one with high crime and infrastructure problems, what was called gentrification was a very positive force for that area.
David got to us through Anchor, and we got this from Jersey City, New Jersey. I was a gentrifier in the late 90s, and now the neighborhood is being double gentrified. If I wanted to move into my place now, I wouldn't be able to afford it. And we want you to join the conversation. You can tweet us at The Takeaway. For a complete list of all the ways you can take part, check out the Connect with The Takeaway button over at the website.
The Takeaway is supported by TIAA. Whether it's investing, advice, banking, or retirement, TIAA is committed to helping those who do good do well. Learn more at TIAA.org.